Rod Mayo said this morning that your performance wasn't good enough. Do you expect to start this week, or do you have some question as to your status?
Nope, I don't have any questions on that.
Okay. So you expect to start?
You expect
just to clarify
start?
Real quick?
Yeah.
So that swayed you, Keith?
That is a salty dog.
Yeah, no, it did. Well, that, one of the reasons why it swayed me. So that was Brissett yesterday with Hart and Arcand. He still believes he is the starter. But you're like, all right, that's a tough spot for him to be in. He's doing the interview after the game. You know, Patriots Monday, we always talk with at the station the quarterback. And so, like, he was the last starter. So I wasn't surprised that they talked to him. But you hear his answer, and then you combine it with crickets. Like, I was like, all right, maybe an hour after that there'll be an announcement. Maybe 2 hours after that. Because I feel like there's less likely to be an announcement from Gerard Mayo at a press conference than there would be Rappaport and Schefter tweeting it out at the same time.
So,
like they did the other day with whatever that was.
I agree with that. It was going with Brissett, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually might have been.
Yeah.
We got that right before the meeting started,
yeah.
Right? It came out. So those guys are probably just sitting on that waiting to go. I'm like, well, why not now?
Okay, so when's the timeline for that? Because I agree. I think Schefter or Rapsheet are going to break it. It's not just Mayo announcing it at the podium. So, like, I think tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I think we have until tomorrow morning to get the announcement.
Because don't they have to have Wednesday practice with the guy who is the starter? Like, for the team, they need to know. And then there's so many people that would know that even if they don't purposely leak it, it'll get leaked out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't keep a secret from 100 people.
No.
Like, this is the guys who are starting.
So, look, they had their squad meeting, their staff meetings. They had all of that yesterday, and maybe they put the ball in motion. But you're right. I doubt they told the team because that would probably leak out soon. So I think we have until like tomorrow morning by the time we get on the air. If we haven't heard it by then I'll bend the knee and say it's going to be Jacoby Brissett.
All right, so we're a little bit, 20 hours?
Yeah.
24 hours?
I still think there's time, but I don't love hearing Brissett say, I'm starting this week. I expect to start this week. Expect to start is what he was asked.
And everyone's like, oh, good for you.
So I'm trying to remember last year with Mac. I feel like that's how Mac answered it. Like, we'd be like, oh, are you going to start? That's up to coach. Do you expect to start?
And the Mac stuff was so weird, too, because he kept starting and getting pulled and then starting and getting pulled. And you're like, well, what is happening?
Yeah, why do you still expect to start over there?
Like,
did you watch the game?
Coming out of the games. Yeah. Like, Brissett has only been removed from the game once.
Right.
In five games.
Like, and
he's gone wire to wire.
And that was 3 games ago, right? The end of the Jets game. He's played the last two wire to wire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's interesting. We'll get to another salty answer from Jacoby Brissett because he seemed a little extra testy yesterday. 617-779-7937. I say extra. I mean, normally he's very pleasant, and he seemed testy is probably the better way to phrase that. Couple of texts, 37937, before we get to the phones here. Number one, do you know the Bruins season starts today?
What?
Maybe you could talk about them instead of whether or not Drake Maye should start against the Texans. We will talk about that.
Both things can be true.
But I don't like your attitude, text
I don't
line.
Care for that. Yeah. We'll obviously talk about the Bruins. They have their opener tonight. But we're just reacting to Drake Maye. And yes, he should start against the Texans.
Yeah.
They both can be true. It's a four-hour program. We will, for sure, talk Bruins.
We have some Bruins talk scheduled for 11.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to more later on in the program as well. So just hold your horses.
Yep.
We'll get to it. I don't care for the tone.
No, that was mean.
Also, this one, 37937, you're delusional if you think Bill won't get offers next year. Dallas, Giants, Jets, Philly, one of those teams he'll be coaching if he wants to.
That was me texting you.
He wanted to last year, just FYI, and he's not coaching. So I don't know why you're so confident in that. But the texter is reacting to the news of the day that Robert Saleh out in New York, if you're just tuning in, fired by the Jets, first coach fired. Keith, you don't think he'll get a call to take the Jets job right now, but you think at the conclusion of the year, Bill's in play with the Jets.
Yeah, I think he'll be one of their first calls. It also depends on how Aaron Rodgers' season goes. If Aaron Rodgers just falls apart, which unfortunately I have to leave that door open. You know, I've been pro Aaron Rodgers. I thought he was going to have a bounce back year. It's been pretty bad. Outside of the Patriots game, it's been pretty rough. So if he sucks and they decide they need to get a new quarterback, that might prevent them from bringing in Bill. I think you're only bringing in Bill if you already have your quarterback because we've seen.
And Bill loves Rodgers.
Yeah, they love each other. It's a great combination. But I think all these teams, and one of the reasons why he didn't get any of the other jobs is or even offers, all those other teams either had young quarterbacks, were about to draft a guy, whatever. You know, Atlanta, a little bit different. They ended up signing Cousins, but they did draft Penix. I think they know post-Brady, you look at the quarterbacks that Bill had, you need to have your quarterback ready to go. So if Rodgers sucks the rest of the year, then that might prevent them from being interested in Bill.
So I don't think Bill's going to get the call either way. I don't think he's going to get a lot of calls. And I don't think Bill is going to be in the position to be picky and choosy like that texter believes. We'll find out who's right. But again, if you think Bill's just going to have his pick of the litter, he had one job last year that he wasn't offered. He didn't finish in the top 3-4, and no other teams were interested.
So I would agree with the texter in that the eight teams that were available last, well, one was the Patriots. So the seven other teams that were available last year.
Dallas could have fired their coach.
So Philly, they should have
fired their coach. They didn't.
So Dallas, Philly, and New York all should have fired their coaches. Jerry Jones famously doesn't fire coaches until it's too late. Philly decided to keep the coach and change all the coordinators, and New York decided to keep their coach for five games. So to me, they all made mistakes. Now, whether or not they all would have hired Bill or not, those teams make way more sense because it's just a little, you need a little boost over the top. The rosters are all good there, so you just need an improvement at coach. And even if Bill has lost a step from a few years ago, he's better than Robert Saleh, he's better than Nick Sirianni, he's better than Mike McCarthy.
So you can jump in on that, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. Let me just hear salty Jacoby Brissett yesterday.
Oh,
Arcan, I think you hear the question here. Arcan is going to ask about the mutiny report.
Uh-oh.
The in-house report from Evan Lazar. Here's that exchange.
Said that there was a mutiny or that the locker room was on the verge of a mutiny. Talked about guys sort of being upset with each other and general frustrations after that last loss. In terms of a mutiny, it didn't seem like you guys were throwing a mutiny against anybody there yesterday, but was it maybe, you know, in the locker room, is that frustration starting to take on a different form maybe that someone who's not super familiar might look at and think, oh boy, this is worse than it looks?
No, that's just terrible reporting.
Okay. So would you call it just normal frustration after a tough game?
Terrible reporting on somebody that has no idea what they're talking about.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it. No,
that's Mr. Nice Guy, Jacoby Brissett, Keith.
No, but I love it because it's...
No, that's just terrible reporting.
It's super fair. No, because listen, like, it's not our report, but we've called him a terrible quarterback.
Yeah.
So if he feels like that's a terrible report, call it like you see it. That's also a pro team response.
Yep.
Obviously, you're propping up the coaching staff, the, you know, all this stuff. Like, there's no way there's a mutiny.
You're propping up yourself. You're at the root of the mutiny,
yes,
supposedly.
Yes. 100%. So a terrible report. Good for him.
Terrible report. No, somebody that has no idea what they're talking about.
I love it.
It
could be both a terrible report and he can be a terrible quarterback. Like, these are both true.
To me, it sounds like a guy who might know he's losing his job.
Oh, maybe.
That's what came across me in the tone.
But even the best guy in the world, and even if you try to avoid it, if you have tens of hundreds of thousands of people saying you shouldn't be playing and we don't want to see you and you are a part of the worst football game they've ever seen, that's going to kind of, you're a human being. Like, that's going to hurt a little bit.
Lash out a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, look, I don't blame the guy.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if that's why it came through a little bit. Like, normally he's composed. Normally he's willing to play that game.
Yeah.
And he wasn't yesterday.
Yeah,
so what changed? Yeah. What changed? Maybe he knows he's going to lose his job.
Yeah.
Let's start it off with our buddy Jonathan in Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. I mean, you can't think too badly of Jacoby. Imagine if you had to get interviewed by Arcand every week. But with that salty Bruins fan, it's like, calm down. You'd be the fifth team in the city if the Revolution were any good. And with the Revolution, I'm bringing that up, not randomly. That is the key point, I think, in the Kraft organization here, where this Kraft organization has no idea what they're doing, and that goes from the quarterback on upwards to the front office, where they are so proud to say, oh, they treat all their, you know, assets like their, you know, business, like their Dunder Mifflin paper business thing. And it's just, you can see with the Revolution how now you can see with the Patriots what they've done in the Revolution, where skimp on money, skimp on hiring, skimp on players. And it shouldn't be shocking that we're now seeing the same on the field results. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think it's emblematic of how with the quarterback situation here, they don't know what to do. Like, they know the fans want May, but they don't know what to do because they don't know how to avoid screwing this up worse.
So it's interesting, you know, the Revs example, and I don't follow them super close, but
it is a criticism I've heard before. Yeah. I've heard from Revs fans that are like, just wait till it happens to the team that you're rooting for.
Wait till you don't have Brady anymore. 5 years later, you're the Football Revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the Revs of the NFL. And what's the common denominator there? Ownership. That would be the common denominator.
Uh-huh.
Marshall is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Marshall.
Yeah, hey, you know, as far as starting May, it's not about wins and losses. Really, the wins and losses really matter this season. They're not going to win any more games with May, but at least they could make the games more interesting to watch. It has just been horrific. I mean, I'm 66, man. I've been watching the Patriots God, since I think the first game I saw, I went to, was it Boston University or Harvard or wherever?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. they played at both, Marshall. Nickerson Field, yeah. They played at the Harvard Stadium, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Fenway Park, you didn't get them at Fenway?
True.
I did not. I did not.
You missed out. Imagine that.
So I would agree that
Babe Parilli running around on the infield dirt there.
Drake May makes it way more exciting, but I wouldn't rule out the fact that they win more games.
Me neither.
Because they got such poor quarterback play thus far, and they lost the game in overtime. They lost the game by 5 points, in which they had the lead for the vast majority of it. So that's two right there. Where if your quarterback play is slightly better, you probably win. Like his first point about it's not about wins and losses for this season, I agree with him on that. I do agree with him on that, but it doesn't mean that you won't get a few more wins if you play him.
Development's more important than wins and losses, but wins and losses are pretty high on my list.
Okay.
You know, like I don't want to go 2-15.
No, but I also think there's a major difference between losing 31-3 and, 27-21.
I agree.
What the hell? You're 3-12 or whatever, the 3-14, they can look a lot different.
If you have a Joe Burrow rookie year or a
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, they were decent.
Oh, the team actually wasn't bad, but
Herbert, Justin Herbert. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You win 5 or 6 games, but obviously you're competitive. I'll take that in a heartbeat. So development's more important than wins and losses, but wins and losses are pretty high on my list.